Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of Across the Broken Stars, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, starting with Michael R. Fletcher.
Hey, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of the Obsidian Path Trilogy.
And Rob J. Hayes.
I'm Rob J. Hayes. I'm the author of the War Eternal Trilogy.
Today we're going to be talking about audiobooks, but before we start, a couple of weeks ago we launched a website for the podcast, wizardswarriorswords.com, and on the website there's a feature where you can send in voice messages. So I've got our very first voice message that our listener has sent in to us, and I'm going to play it now on the show. Apologies, I will have to play it off this laptop.
We don't know what it says.
They don't know what it says. I do know what it says, so because quality control still exists. let's go.
I know I might be expecting some bad reviews of other books, but we can do this later on another voice message. So let's now say congratulations, because this new website is really cool, looks so neat, so well done. And I just wanted you to know that listening to your podcast has recently become a daily ritual on my morning drive to work. Your episodes are really fun, guys. I like your chemistry, and you make your episodes a real mood lifter before starting a day in the office. And if you have a daily job, you might understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes the office is a grim, darker place than the Mike's stories. So thank you, guys. And keep it up.
Awesome. So thanks for the voice message, Karen. That was sick.
That was so cool.
That was very, very cool.
A grim, darker place than Mike's
than
stories.
Mike's stories. Yeah.
So with less snot, though.
Less snot. Less spitting, less snot.
Because your Beyond Redemption was described online earlier. Was it a warm hug or something like that? What is it?
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Hug of swords.
A warm Beyond Redemption is like a warm puppy hugging your leg as it vomits all over your shoe and something is poking in your leg.
What a review.
It ain't wrong.
What a review. Put that on your cover, Mike. That is amazing. So thanks, Karen, for sending your voice message in. If you would like to send in a voice message too, just go to wizardswarriorswords.com. And there will be a link on the site where you can record a voice message and it'll just automatically send it through. So yeah, that was very cool.
We might play it out on the podcast, assuming not too, I don't know, graphic. We swear all the fucking time, so who cares?
If anyone knows how to like play an audio through Zoom so I don't have to hold up like another laptop, let us know, because that would be really cool. That would be nice to act professional at least. But yeah, anyway, we're going to be talking about audiobooks today. So audiobooks, I guess a lot of self-published authors might not think that audiobooks are within their abilities to create. It seems to me that there are a lot less self-published audiobooks as opposed to self-published ebooks and paperback books. But Mike, as you would probably be able to speak to the most, that is definitely not the case. Do you want to tell people how you go about doing your audiobooks just to start off, since you probably have the most experience in actually producing these things?
Okay. So because I've got a background in audio engineering and this really sexy voice, I decided I was going to produce my own audiobook. Not because I thought I'd do a good job, but because it would be free and my time isn't actually worth anything. And so I bought a nice microphone, which it's got here. You don't actually have to do any halfway decent mic for kind of $100 will absolutely be good enough. I spent more because I wanted to, mostly because audio nerd. You can use, now I've got like a suite of like high-end audio pro recording, you know, software and stuff. You don't need any of that though. You can download Audacity, which is a free piece of software. You can record your audiobook with a microphone directly into Audacity. It will allow you to do all of your edits right there in the software. It will let you EQ. It will let you use compression. Basically make it sound as good as it possibly can. And the best thing with Audacity is it has an ACX, which is Audible.
Amazon.
Amazon's audiobook thing. It has an ACX checker built into the free software where it will look at your audiobook, at your each chapter. It'll look at your chapter file and say, yes, this passes ACX test, or no, it doesn't. And here's why it doesn't. So I would know every chapter was going to pass ACX check before I uploaded them. And so that literally was a free audiobook. It took a lot of time because I was learning how to do it. And voice acting, just not my background.
Yep.
But the cool thing is if you can relax a little bit, I mean, they're your characters, you know them. And you can lose yourself in there, you know? And so it was a lot of fun. And people seem to have liked it.
Nice. Yeah. I also recorded, my audiobook for Fires of the Dead. It was an exhausting experience. It's a novella that's only about 3 hours long as an audiobook, but probably Mike, as you found, yeah, if you don't have that voice acting training, like you can really tire yourself out quite a bit. Also, my recording setup was probably even more budget than yours. It was literally like a blue snowball mic that cost $100. And then I was in like a linen closet standing up with a bunch of just random junk around me in pretty much total darkness with like the computer sitting up on a bunch of towels and yeah, just like all crammed into this space for like, it probably took me like 3 weeks to record the thing because I struggled to do more than a couple of, you know, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day sort of thing. And yeah, I just recorded direct into the voice notes app on PC or whatever it's called, voice recorder, although Audacity in hindsight would have been better. And then, yeah, I had to like edit that manually afterwards in Adobe Audition so that it fit all of ACX's requirements. I enjoyed the process. Like you say, you really do know the character as well, so you kind of get into it a bit. I think one thing that maybe has held my audiobook back is the fact that I have an Australian accent, because pretty much all the reviews I've read of my audiobook on Audible, like, it's a great story, but can't understand a word of this guy's accent. So yeah.
Oh, bless. You're not that bad.
I guess that's what happens when you have never heard an Australian narrator before. But yeah, that was my experience. So yeah, by all means, you can do this yourself. The question, of course, is like whether you think that will be worthwhile, because Rob, you have a very different experience with your audiobooks, with Podium, I believe. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, the sticking with ACX first, there are other ways to do it. You don't have to record it yourself. For using ACX, they have the sort of like narrator auditioning sort of thing. So you can choose how to sort of pay for it as well. You can either choose, when you're setting up your audiobook to be created, you can either choose to do a royalty share where basically out of the profits, which is like 40% of whatever the ebook sells for, you get 50% and the narrator gets 50%. Or you can choose to say, I will pay the narrator this much per finished hour of the audiobook. So if you're paying, what, $200 per finished hour and your book is 10 hours long, you're paying $2,000 for the finished audiobook. So that's the other way to sort of get it done, and you'll post up your audiobook, and depending on, you know, narrators who are looking for it at the time, you'll get auditions for your little audition script, and then you get to choose which one to go with, if any of them. You don't have to go with any of them if you decide that none of them are right. I've used both methods, both the royalty share and the paid per hour, and I will say that I tended to get a lot better class of narrator for doing the paid per hour than I did the royalty share, which probably isn't surprising because a royalty share is it's a gamble for the narrator as much as it is you. You know, the book might sell nothing and they get nothing for all of the work they put in, same as you, except for the fact that you've already got the ebook, so you can sell that as well. Whereas my entire Mortal Techniques books, all three of them now, were done by the narrator Kim Breton, who I paid for as a flat fee, and she was absolutely fantastic to work with. Really enjoyed working with her, and have no complaints there. So I do think that that's the other way to do it. You can just go through ACX and hire a narrator in one of those two fashions, and depending on your budget, you can do it for free or you can do it for a cost.
You also have the experience with Podium, is that right?
Yeah. So Podium are basically a company that specialize in producing audiobooks. I think they have branched out into ebooks as well now, but mostly they specialize in producing audiobooks. They essentially snap up, I think, mostly self-published titles. I think they also do a few traditionally published ones as well now. But I think the biggest one was probably The Martian back in the day when that was still unknown or just starting. And they basically contacted me and said, look, your book's doing pretty well in the ebook charts. We've noticed it doesn't have an audiobook. We want to produce the audiobook for you. And I said, yes, please, because it's really stressful and I don't know what I'm doing. they bought the rights to produce the War Eternal audiobook. I got a very small advance for it, and then I get some royalties per sale, but honestly I cannot remember what they are. I think they're quite favorable. I think they're pretty favorable. I think I get something like 15% on each sale or something, which is pretty good. But I can't remember off the top of my head. I had very little involvement with it. I know some authors get to choose the narrator, but for me, that wasn't the case. Luckily, they picked Moira Quirk, who was absolutely fantastic. And then, they just did it and said, here you go, here's the audiobook.
Yeah. The Podium, is it Tantor or Trantor? I can never remember.
Tantor.
Tantor and
the other audio books. The other audiobook company, yeah. The best part about going with any of them, aside from the advance, is the like, it's out of my hands.
Yes, yes.
I like literally can't do anything now.
Yeah.
I love that part. It's wonderful.
It's just so stress-free. You're just like, hopefully they pick a good narrator, and then just like, it's there it is. It's done. It was wonderful because I found, as much as the Mortal Techniques books, I think, worked out really well, I found searching for a narrator really stressful for them. To be honest, you can have bad experiences with narrators as well. a bit of a horror story, but my pirate duology, Best Laid Plans, where loyalties lie, the narrator delivered on time, absolutely fine. That was good. I then said, cool, do you want to do book two as well? That was about 2 years ago, and nothing. And I can't even get hold of him anymore, and I can't seem to cancel the audiobook on ACX without his approval as well, but I can't get hold of him to get it approved. So I got no idea what's going on there. Fun time. Very sorry for anybody who's waiting for the Fifth Empire Man on audio. I'm trying. I am fucking trying.
Maybe just get Mike to record it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, in all my spare time.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have like a family and a kid, and you should have plenty of free time afterwards. Yeah, so I guess those are all the different routes to go down in terms of publishing it. I thought we could maybe talk a little bit about considerations that you should have earlier in the actual writing process to make the audiobook a bit smoother. Because one thing that I have noticed is that sometimes you look at the way that words are on a page and you don't think about how they could work when they're all pronounced together. So for example, you might have two different characters who have very similar sounding names, even though the names look maybe quite different. And in audiobook, that can potentially blend together a little bit. There's other considerations as well. Like, I think if you have a lot of sentences that are the same length, I mean, first of all, that doesn't usually make for the most engaging print book, but particularly an audiobook form that can send people to sleep. And yeah, what are some of the other considerations that you guys would have when you're writing for audiobook, if you're even thinking about it at that stage, or maybe it just doesn't cross your mind?
Honestly, I don't.
Fair enough.
I write for readers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, reading book sales, ebook or otherwise, is 90% of my sales. Mm-hmm. I'm writing for a reader. I'm writing for someone who is looking at the words on a page, and that, you know, the layout of my text, fast back and forth dialogue, all of that works in that medium, where it doesn't work as well in audio. You need more dialogue cues, especially if you've got like really fast back and forth dialogue where you actually don't want the cues. But if you've got one person reading the script and he or she is trying to jump back and forth between quick-witted repartee, the listener is like, what the fuck is going on?
So basically the experience of people listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So when I deal with narrators, I pretty much always say, like, if you need to like change something to make it clear, like, just go ahead. I have thought about doing like a
rewrite for audio.
An audio rewrite to tweak for audiobooks. I don't have time for that shit.
Just quickly on that, Mike. So have your narrators actually like changed things in the past that you can remember? Like adding in extra dialogue tags?
Just like a little stuff to like clarify a moment where it's like visually looking at it on a page, it totally makes sense. No one's confused. But when you're listening to it, you don't have the same visual cues. I know a couple of times narrators have had to sort of like insert something just to, you know, to make it work.
And do they have to
approve that? And I did it myself. Narrating my own book. They've each time they've sort of checked in and said, here's what's happening, here's what I want to do, and I'm always like, yeah,
cool,
like, you know, you can tell when it's not working.
Nice.
Take into account there is it does disqualify you from Amazon's WhisperThink service, which is where you can read and listen to a book at the same time, and your Kindle and your Audible app keep up with each other basically.
Right.
But they have to be like the same.
Identical. Yeah. That's actually another cool thing for promoting audiobooks as well. Is I noticed that ML Spencer did this when she was promoting the Dragon Mage audiobook, where audiobooks can be expensive if you buy them standalone, you know, like $10+, whatever it is. With Amazon, a lot of the times, if someone buys the Kindle version of your book, Amazon will then offer them the audiobook for a very discounted rate.
Like I think in the past for one of yours, Rob, like you were selling, you had a sale on that was like 99 cents of one of your books. I think I bought that. And then immediately Amazon was like, would you like the audiobook for $2.99? Which is like ridiculously cheap compared to what you'd normally have to pay with a
Amazon
credit.
Probably don't want people to realize, but yeah, you know, you can buy the audiobook for cheaper if you just buy the ebook first most times.
Yes. So yeah, it's up to you as an author whether you want to use that as part of your promotion strategy. But I know that ML Spencer used it by saying, like, I'm releasing the audiobook of Dragon Mage. If you buy the ebook, which will be discounted to 99 cents during this week, the audiobook will only cost you an extra $7.49, which is ridiculous for an audiobook that is 30 odd hours. So yeah, up to you whether you want to use that as part of your promotion or not. You can also from memory set what that discounted rate is when you go through Audible. I feel like I was able to adjust, like, if someone already has the ebook, what rate do you want to charge them for the audiobook?
Okay.
Yeah.
I've looked on my ACX dashboard and I have absolutely zero control over any pricing, basically.
Okay. So this is because I use Findaway Voices to upload. So I did the full self-published route for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
ACX, you don't get any control, but no. You do get
their benefit. Royalty structure is incomprehensible.
Yeah. It's weird.
There's like 8 different kinds of book sale. And you get different royalties for each one, and you never
like library
know
rentals,
which one you got or how much it was. You can't, they won't tell you, like, you made $3 off that book. You have no idea. Yeah. And if I ever thought about it, I'd be angry and frustrated.
There is also, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't point out there is a bit of trouble going on with ACX. On AudibleGate, which is, it's mostly due to Audible, actually. It's the fact that if you are a member of Audible, you can basically buy a book on Audible and then you can listen to it in a week and then you can return it for free within I think it's within a week, it might be within 2 weeks, and basically then you get your credit back, which you can then spend again on a different audiobook. However, it means that the author and the narrator, technically, whatever, get nothing.
Yeah,
they are stumped out, you know, just cut out of it altogether. So it's something that there's a big deal. A lot of authors are trying to get it changed at the moment because it's quite unfair. There are a lot of people who are literally doing that. They are literally just getting free audiobooks, and it's just screwing over the authors, basically.
Yeah, not cool. Yeah, so that is one reason why. Yeah, you might want to be hesitant about that. But then again, it's like, you know, what do you do? Is the biggest market in the same way that, you know, most sales for ebooks are on Kindle, most sales are on Audible as well. So it is, yeah, leaving authors in a bit of a tricky position. One way that, like, an alternative to just publishing through ACX, if you're not as big a fan of that, is Findaway Voices, which is what I use. And that is good because it does things like a lot of library rentals, and it just, like, gets you into basically every market. So it's the equivalent, it's the audio equivalent of publishing wide, essentially. So rather than just focusing on Audible, it does all the other platforms. And yeah, I'm seeing things here like a lot of libraries have memberships to, I'm blanking on the name, but it's like Overdrive or other like audiobook rental things where a library member gets this service for free, but you as the author get like 99 cents per rental, for example. Which is not bad for like a 3 hour long audiobook, which is what Fires of the Dead is. So yeah, that's cool because like it's totally free for readers and everything. So yeah, Findaway Voices is what I've used in the past. It's useful if you want to go wide. The downside is you get slightly less royalties off Audible, is my understanding. So if you go through ACX, I think it's like 40% or something.
Are exclusive to Amazon, you get 40%, or exclusive to Audible, you get 40%.
Yeah, 40% of a mystery number.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if you go wide, basically you get 20% of that same mystery number.
I thought it was 30, but yeah, who knows? Who knows? It is pretty incomprehensible. Unlike, regular Kindle stuff. You do have to wonder if someone like Spotify is going to come in a couple of years and change things up, because it does seem to me like that Audible's model is not is not as user-friendly compared to, I mean, it's great for listeners, but from the author's perspective, it doesn't seem as easy as Kindle publishing is, which I think is
really good. I think you still get more than you would if you're on Spotify, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to, not like uploading on Spotify, but like Spotify have recently, I think, acquired like a couple of audiobook publishers or something. I'd have to check that. But yeah, it does make you wonder whether Spotify will then include like an audiobook offering where you'll be able to actually buy audiobooks within Spotify. So not just uploading your audiobooks and, I don't know, getting advertising revenue off them. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if in, you know, within 5 years or something like that, Spotify have some sort of offering, because they do tend to like acquire these other businesses. Like this podcast is through Anchor. Spotify bought Anchor out a few years ago, and Anchor now like basically promotes the crap out of Spotify. You know, it's like, oh, make sure you're telling your listeners to say Spotify heaps, which I have. So I guess it's worked.
Are we now being sponsored?
We're not sponsored, but I think in the past, actually, I did have an ad running on here where it was like, oh, if you want to start a podcast for free, you can use Anchor, which is what I've used for 2 years. And like they paid you a small amount for that. But yeah, basically what I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if Spotify tried to do something here in a few years. So yeah, hopefully they do and it's great. That would be awesome. Because more competition is good for
us. Diversity within the system and all that.
Exactly. So as we kind of close up this episode, any last things to mention?
Yeah, one thing. So Podium and Tantor, they will publish and purchase the rights to self-published books. You can approach them. And Tantor for sure. Actually, Podium as well, I'm pretty sure. Unagented. You don't actually need an agent to approach them. So I have self-published books with both companies. It is something that's might be worth, you know, contemplating. It is nice, even if it's like a relatively small check, just getting a lump of cash and then not thinking about it again. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah. And also the benefit of then, you know, that's out there building your author brand and reaching a new audience that your ebooks are maybe not making it to.
I mean, that's the way I've always thought about audiobooks is if I'm self-publishing the book, then, you know, the audio rights are sitting there doing nothing. I might as well get the audiobook produced if I can afford it, or if I can go for another company or whatever, because at least then I'll be earning something on it.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll wrap up this episode here. Like I mentioned at the start, we have a new website where you can send through voice messages. Would love for you to go ahead and use that feature and maybe ask us a question. And if we like it, we can potentially do an episode talking about it. Or if we get enough listener questions, we might even do a whole episode where we just, you know, use your audio questions.
What is that website, Jed?
The website is wizardswarriorswords.com. Yeah, the link will be down below as well. So professional as always. So yeah, head on over to the website, check it out. Let us know if there's any features you want on the website too. And we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Ciao. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.